Rather than giving a gift of cash this Christmas, Friends of Focus can give a smarter gift. You can choose to give a gift of stock that has appreciated over the last year. You get a tax deduction for the fair market value, avoid tax on the appreciation of the stock, and turn that savings into a gift for families. For more information on non-cash giving, visit FocusNonCashGift.com. That's FocusNonCashGift.com.
I don't need to tell anyone about this. It's easy to think that way when you're hiding a secret sin, but at some point that sin will be discovered. I'm John Fuller, joined by Dr. Greg Smalley and his wife, Erin. They're in charge of our marriage department here at Focus on the Family. And as we begin, let's turn our attention to a conversation with Dave and Kirsten Samuel. Jim Daly and I spoke with them. They both used to work here at Focus and seemed to have a great marriage, but there was a secret underneath the surface that almost destroyed their relationship. Here's part of their story.
Let me say welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
it's great to be here.
Good to be here.
All right. We're going to dive right into the story because there's so much to this and the content is going to be powerful. I know it. You can get that feeling, right, John?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It begins with that image of a perfect marriage. I put that in air quotes. That was really shattered by the revelation of a hidden addiction to pornography, Dave, that you were struggling with. First, describe your relationship up to that point. What was your marriage like? What was going on? And, you know, I'm assuming you were happily married for like 25 years, three grown children. Where were you at that point? 25 years and you didn't really know each other?
No.
Yeah.
That's the crazy part. We were just launching into being empty nesters because our youngest had just gone to school overseas.
Right.
And I thought we had an absolutely fabulous marriage. And we did, to some degree, we did, mm-hmm. Because we never fought. We always got along.
Yeah, and it was one of those things where we did have love for each other. I mean, we did love each other. We were committed to each other. But the sin that was niggling at me, that was underneath the skin that had been for years, you know, just kept raising its ugly head during these times. But the introduction to the real struggle was when the internet came around and how easy it was to gain access to information and stuff that you shouldn't be getting into.
We're going to delve into that. Mm-hmm. And I think before that, though, really to grab, I think a lot of wives, and you know what? This is not gender specific any longer. A growing number of women are trapped in that addiction to pornography. We hear more and more of that here at Focus. But you had that news, Kirsten.
Yes.
I mean, I want to take you back to that day. So you're married 25 years. Your kids are all about to be out on their own. I mean, you're thinking, okay, this is cruise time now. Cruise control is around the corner.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then, boom, you get this call or this Dave comes home. What happened when this hit you?
Well, I got home from work and I was making dinner. Our oldest son was home getting ready to head back to college. And like I said, we had our youngest son was already at college. And I was making dinner and Dave came in and he was really quiet, not normally quiet.
Yeah.
And we had dinner and he hardly ate anything, which was really odd because he's got a big appetite.
So you were noticing.
Yeah. I'm thinking something's not, you know. And so I thought, well, maybe he ate his lunch late because I knew he'd had a busy day at work. And, you know, there were several things going on. And then after dinner, he went into our room and didn't come out. And I was like, so I cleaned up and went in the room and I looked at him and he's laying on the bed. And I said, I still remember I had a dish towel in my hands. Why I remember that, but I do. And I said, what's the matter? And the next thing I heard come out of his mouth was, well, it's very likely I won't have a job tomorrow. Hmm. And I was just shocked. And I said, why? You know, the only question I could come up with was why? And he said, because of a moral failure. And my knees gave way.
Hmm.
And I hit the bed. And he proceeded to tell me what had happened just a few hours earlier.
Dave, let's get you in here. I mean, maybe you can describe as you started to a moment ago, just describe what you were dealing with, why it caught you and carried you away, and then, you know, to connect with the guys particularly that are listening, that double life. I mean, we're all susceptible to this. So it's not, you know, you made it. I'm proud of both of you for getting there, for choosing the right path of reconciliation and rehabilitation, and we're going to get to all that. But in this moment, this is the moment that the offender fears the most,
right?
That you're found out, you're discovered, the ugly side of this. Just help us understand that emotion of that and what you felt like, and even telling Kirsten what that felt like. Give us an idea.
All I can say is just there was a range of emotions, from panic to humiliation to shame. It was, you know, that flood of, you know, oh no, I have been found out. And, you know, for years I had tried to do it myself, you know, to take care of things myself, and okay, I'm going to be good and
keep it under control.
Yeah, keep it under control
or eliminate it.
And, you know, 2-3 months would go by, be fine, and then something would trigger and it would come back. So there had been that cycle of wanting to get rid of this for years. And so I confessed it there, and that started the snowball.
Greg, our theme this month is the subject of pornography, and many couples listening have been affected by it in some way. Now, Dave explained how he confessed his sin and how that became a kind of a first step toward healing. Explain a little bit further what real repentance looks like after we take that initial step.
Yeah, I think it begins by just being able to stay kind of in this humbled state. And, you know, it's so easy, John, when a secret's been exposed, so, you know, now she knows about my pornography, just to have those moments to where pride seeps back in. You want to defend, rationalize, well, you're not perfect either, I don't want to talk about this. And so I think true repentance will show up as I'm able to really maintain that place of humility. Just, you know, recognizing the mistake that I made, not who I am. And so I think that's another part of true repentance is recognizing the difference between this is how I was behaving, these are the choices that I made, but this isn't who I am.
Okay,
because if I believe it's who I am, then I'm probably going to return to that pride.
You'll go down that slope. And Aaron, for wives who are affected by a husband, or you can flip it around, and it's the husband whose wife has been engaged in the use of pornography, how can they be sure that it's not who my spouse is, it's just what they did and it was a mistake?
Well, the enemy wants to lead us down that pathway of this is who they are, because then that leaves us what? Hopeless. That there is no hope. And it's going to our source of truth, that Jesus, what is true about my spouse? What's true about me? And guilt is I did something wrong. Shame is there's something very wrong with me, and this is who I am. And that's what the enemy wants to do. So it's conviction over what we did wrong versus who we are. And it's important, as this is being exposed, you know, some people might think, oh, just I apologize and that's it. Well, it's a journey that you're entering in, because trust has been broken.
Yeah, and I tell you, John, when Aaron and I went through this in our own marriage, and I confessed to having used pornography, it was very hard once that came out, once I owned it and took full responsibility, which is, again, part of that true repentance. But it was very hard when Aaron wanted to then keep talking at different moments about it. You know, and there were moments that something would trigger her, something would stir her up. Maybe she suspected something. And it was very difficult for me to not say to her, we talked about this, like, I've already apologized, I owned it, why do we have to revisit this? That's the worst thing that I could say in those moments. And versus really welcoming, and that's hard, when she's been triggered or when something comes up, if she wants to talk about it, looking really honestly at that as an opportunity. And the opportunity is that I get one more chance to really care, to empathize what that was like for Aaron. And yet, if I'm still racked with that shame and feel so failed, it's very hard to get to that place. So again, I think as God continues to work on my heart and that true repentance, that I make that shift, that God, in you, I know who I am. I know the choice I made, and I hate that, but that's not who I am. And it frees me up to really have moments that I can really listen and understand. Now, let's be honest. That's hard. Mm-hmm. That's very difficult. I mean, Aaron and I were literally just out to lunch, and we were talking about some things within our own marriage, not pornography related, but every part of me constantly wants to defend myself and explain and give her a broader perspective of, so well, this is who I really am, not just that. It was just funny. We just were talking about this, and I was able to make that shift. And I was right, Aaron. Yes. I was able to do a little bit.
Please affirm that he made the shift. Yes.
This is what I will say. We just had the most effective and best conversation that I think we've probably ever had.
Oh, wow.
But it took three attempts. This was the third attempt. And so it is because after the second attempt, I was like, we are never going to be able to do this. And I told him today, I said, maybe it is just accepting that we're not going to be able to do this. But what's hard is we're helping people do this. Why are we not doing it? But just hanging in there and keeping my heart open, Greg working on him and being aware of when he gets triggered or I get triggered, things aren't going to go well. So if it doesn't go well, which it may not the first one, two, three times, take care of you, get your heart back open, and then come back and try again.
Hang in there, because this wasn't over a really huge issue like pornography, and yet we still struggled having that conversation. So as Aaron's saying, we can do this. Just keep at it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope you've found some encouragement in this conversation with the Smalleys. And if you're feeling a sense of I need help or we need help, please know we're here to help. Our number is 800, the letter A in the word family. We have a team of caring Christian counselors. We'll schedule a time for them to give you a call back. And what they'll do is they'll hear you out. They'll talk with you. They'll offer some resources. And if you need ongoing counseling help, we have a network of trusted counselors they can refer you to.
And that's a free consultation.
It is. And we want you to call and schedule that time. It's 800, the letter A in the word family. And we'll put the link in the show notes. Also, Greg and Aaron have a series of discussions about this very topic. We have the No Porn Marriage podcast. We'll link over to that in the show notes. And then finally, if you're able to donate today, a gift of any amount, either on a sustaining basis, a monthly basis, or a one-time gift, we'll say thank you for joining the support team or contributing to the needs here at Focus by sending a copy of Kirsten Samuel's book, Choosing a Way Out. And, of course, as I've said now, the show notes, that's the place to go for all these links. We'll hear more from Dave and Kirsten Samuel next time, and Greg and Aaron as well. On behalf of the Smalleys and the entire team here, I'm John Fuller, thanking you for listening to this episode of the Focus on the Family Marriage podcast.
When a woman discovers her husband's struggle with pornography, she needs a practical plan. The latest book from Focus on the Family, Aftershock, by professional counselor Joanne Condi, will help you through the 7 steps of self-care, and you'll learn how to deal with the emotions involved in the discovery of your husband's addiction. Let Joanne Condi's timeless wisdom give you hope even while you're in your own season of Aftershock. Learn more about Aftershock at focusonthefamily.com/store.